Investment Flash.
All right, folks, grab your coffee. Tech got absolutely wrecked last week, but the oversold bounces are staring us in the face. Bitcoin's betting big, and oil just won't quit. Let's dig in.
I'm Marie. It's the weekend edition, July 19th, and I'm here with Tom and Gerald, diving into a market that's splitting right down the middle.
Yeah, look, tech is a bloodbath. The semiconductor ETF dropped over 10% last week. I'm already hearing the snapback sirens, but let's not pretend the macro isn't flashing some serious warnings alongside.
Gerald, you know I love a good bounce play. CNBC Pro screened the most oversold stocks after that rout. Oracle's RSI came in at 17.4. That's coiled spring territory, buddy.
17.4 is deeply oversold. But Tom, remember when you said semis were cooked in Q2? That was a week ago, and we had to buy small caps. How's that trade looking now?
Fair enough. The rotation worked for about a day. Point is, Oracle's down 63% from its high. 35 of 44 analysts are buy-rated. This is a classic mean reversion setup.
All right, but Oracle's forward PE is still high teens. And we just watched IBM crater 26% on an earnings warning. That's a cautionary tale. Not all oversold tech is created equal.
No, but that's exactly my point. IBM's drop was an AI spillover signal. If Big Blue can't monetize AI, what makes Oracle's cloud safe? The bear case isn't just technical. It's demand deceleration.
Okay, so IBM is a mess. 36% below its high. No clarity. But Supermicro is different. RSI 25.3. Analyst holds outnumber buys, but it's 61% off the high. Relief rally written all over it.
Supermicro's trailing PE is still north of 20. I mean, to be fair, the semis ETF historically snaps back from these quick drawdowns, but with the sector five times as volatile as the S&P, that's a roulette spin.
Hold on, you're both ignoring the bigger picture. The Fed meeting's next week, Warsh is playing it opaque, and Wall Street's literally building chatbots to decode him. Rate uncertainty is going to magnify every oversold bounce or trap.
I hear you, but the snapback potential on SOX is real. 20% below the 52-week high, and earnings are the next catalyst. If Oracle and Supermicro can just meet expectations, we're looking at a sharp reversal.
Or a dead cat. The Chip Vole piece from FT Markets is telling, nearly five times broader market volatility. NDDA's forward PE of 15.8 looks cheap on growth, but that only works if the Blackwell ramp holds true.
See, this is what I mean. NVDA is only 14% below its high. It hasn't priced a real earnings miss. The oversold stuff might bounce, but the AI trade is still skating on thin ice.
Right. But while you two are fretting about AI, someone just dropped a $2.5 billion notional Bitcoin bet. 20,000 call spreads, 70 to 72,000 strike, July 31st expiry. That's a monster.
$2.5 billion notional. That's either a genius macro play or the most expensive lottery ticket of the year. Bitcoin's been range-bound, and the ETF BITO is down 30% year-to-date.
It's all about that Fed meeting, isn't it? A hold is priced at 75 to 80% probability. If Warsh hints at a pause ending, Bitcoin's correlation to risk assets could bite. The options market is betting on a dovish surprise.
Exactly. And if Bitcoin hits 72,000, BITO, which is 62% below its high, goes vertical. That's the leveraged play. I love the asymmetry here.
Look, mate, I'm all for asymmetry, but the macro undercurrent is ugly. US Strategic Oil Reserve just hit its lowest since 1983. That's not a typo. The WSJ says it's a supply vulnerability. USO ripped nearly 4% last session alone.
And that's the hidden story. While tech bleeds, oil is up 80% year to date. Iran war fears and now the SPR drain. The old world hedges are working again. Gold rose almost 1% last session too.
Ha ha, Gerald, your bond doom loop is morphing into an oil supercycle, isn't it? GLD is still 28% below its high, so plenty of room.
Okay, but the oil setup is cleaner than tech right now, no question. The SPR being that low means any further disruption, say from the Brazil tariff shock, and crude could really spike.
Speaking of which, that's a wild one from CoinDesk. 25% U.S. tariffs on most Brazilian goods starting July 22nd, specifically targeting TIX. But here's the kicker. Stablecoins already command 90% of Brazil's crypto volume.
That's insane. $6 to $8 billion monthly going through stablecoins. So tariffs on PIX might just accelerate the shift to crypto rails. Visa and MasterCard are the real losers here.
Yeah, Visa trades at 24 times forward. That's not cheap for a company facing a structural payment shift in a major economy. MasterCard's 10% discount from its high doesn't cushion that.
Exactly. And it's not just Brazil. This is a template. If stablecoins bypass legacy rails, the whole card network moat gets questioned. Tether, for all its regulatory headaches, is the beneficiary.
So you're saying buy stablecoins? Not exactly, but the trend is clear. Meanwhile, the Brazil ETF is already down 16% from its high. More tariff pain could send it lower.
Right. And that pairs nicely with another under-the-radar story, the pizza delivery shift. FT says DoorDash and Uber Eats are killing national pizza chains. Domino's is down 24% year-to-date, and it's a structural decline.
I read that. Small shops are now on equal footing. Domino's delivery-only model can't compete with an aggregator that offers every pizza joint. DoorDash, even at a 36% discount from its high, could gain serious share.
This is the kind of secular shift I love, not a flash in the pan. And DoorDash's valuation has been beaten up. If growth reaccelerates, that discount starts looking like a gift.
To be fair, delivery apps are feast or famine, but the FT data is convincing. National chains are losing ground. It's not just pizza either. It's a broader trend.
Okay, pivoting to geopolitics. Japan is seeking stronger deterrence after a Chinese submarine missile launch, per Nikkei Asia. That likely means more defense spending. Defense contractors could get a boost, though the broader Japanese index might be pressured.
Yeah, defense stocks are classic geopolitical hedges. But EWJ was down 1.5% last session, so it's not all rosy. Still, a budget boost is a tailwind.
And speaking of China, Nikkei also reports China now holds 80% of the global wind turbine market. That's staggering dominance. FXI, the China large cap ETF, trades below book value at 0.85 times.
Wait a second, 80%? That's a monopoly. Even with trade frictions, the clean tech scale is in China's favor. Meanwhile, the global alt energy ETF, KEX, is at its exact 52-week low. Non-Chinese wind is getting crushed.
So long, FXI, short GX. That's a clever pair trade. China's industrial advantage isn't going away.
All right, but FXI's discount isn't for nothing. Regulatory risk is real. However, at 19% below its high, it's a value play.
Hong Kong property might be stabilizing too. Sun Hung Kai sold all 138 flats in a new project on launch day. EWH, the Hong Kong ETF, is only 9% above its low. That's a potential reversal signal.
Finally, some good news from the property sector. That sellout demand suggests the downturn is bottoming. EWH could catch a sentiment wave.
Now, back to the US, the Fed communication era. This is the most original take from CNBC. Wall Street firms are building chatbots like WarshGPT to decode Jerome Warsh's opaque style.
Honestly, it's both funny and terrifying. Under $1,000 on Anthropic's Claude to build a tool that moves billions. The Fed's retreat from clear guidance is spawning a cottage industry of AI policy inference.
And that's going to inject more volatility. If one word can swing markets, long-duration treasuries like TLT are on a knife edge. It's just 2% above its 52-week low.
TLT is already priced for hawkishness. But if Warsh whispers the wrong syllable, the long end breaks. That's the hidden wire connecting to tech. No one's talking about the correlation between oversold chips and duration.
That's exactly our view. The market is fracturing. You've got a $2.5 billion Bitcoin bet on one side, and the oil reserve at a four-decade low on the other. The cleanest expression is long energy and gold, short overpriced tech.
So you're saying short semis versus long commodities? That's the barbell that catches both a macro scare and a tech unwind. I can get behind that.
USO up 80% year to date, GLD rising. The old world hedges are back. I'd add long Bitcoin futures, cautiously, as a hedge against dollar weakness if the Fed blinks.
But remember, none of this is investment advice, just us connecting the dots.
And if you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with charts and sources. We're back Monday's London edition at 7:30 a.m. London time. Have a great rest of the weekend. Flash.